Well, good morning. This is Marcy Schuler with 307 Net Radio, and I'm here with Charles Oskey, Superintendent of Schools at Johnson County School District Number 1, and Ricky Sanders, the, what is your title, the Director of Food Services?
Yes,
Director of Food Services for the district. And, you know, we've had a lot of conversations in our homes and with people that we know about school food, just all over the nation, you know. Kids generally complain about school food, or they, you know, say they don't get enough, or whatever they say when they come home. And we decided we just needed to dig into the subject and find out what's happening at the school district and the food services so that we can answer some of those questions that people have. So first of all, the role of food in student outcomes. You know, we know that there's a correlation there. What do you know about that? Charles, you want to
Well, first of all, yeah, good morning. And I'm excited for our weekly interview. And Ricky, I'm even more excited to have you here. So it's a team effort here today. And you're right. In the foundation of education, you got to take care of the basic needs of kids. And that does impact the educational piece. So, we are moving into that new transition. And I'm glad Ricky's here to kind of help answer some of my questions because she is the expert. But the reality is we're coming out of COVID, so now meals are not free. So those are, you know, challenges as an infrastructure of what we do with our meals. The cost of food has gone up, just like what we see in the grocery stores and parents are seeing individually. We're seeing some of those same costs here. So how do we reduce as much and take that on as a district, knowing that now the cost of doing business has increased here in the district, but yet still providing some quality food options. I'll let Ricky talk. I think we even got salad bars this year in some cases, and there's time and effort that goes into that. But the reality, we do fall under some guidelines that we have to follow with our programs that we're in. So, and I'm going to turn that over to Ricky, but it is essential. What we provide at the schools that we provide breakfast and what we provide for lunch. And so it is, it's always a challenge. And I think we are very fortunate to have Ricky in the position she's in. I think she does a great job with her staff and also keeping Mr. Oskey in line with some different things that we need to move forward with. So I'll turn it over to Ricky.
Ricky, so there's a lot of regulation that goes in with what you're doing. How does that affect the kind of lunches our kids are seeing on their plates?
So we are required to serve a protein, a fruit or vegetable, or fruit and vegetable, a grain and a milk every day for lunch. We have to meet requirements for sodium levels, calorie levels, all of that for the week. And so trying to figure out what meals can go together within a week so that we can stay within those guidelines is kind of a challenge, especially when a lot of the stuff, I hate to say it, is processed stuff. It is a, here you go, put it on a tray, or put it on a baking sheet, bake it, and then put it on the tray. We try to do a lot of different, not a lot of different, we want to do more, but scratch cooking. So like our mashed potatoes are scratch cooked and that kind of thing. Banana bread, cookies, those kinds of things that we can do easily. But we are... We have not changed our menus from what it was before COVID through COVID. And I say that as far as during COVID, we had a little more leeway on not having to meet those requirements, but I did not change that. I still met all of those requirements so that we were serving all five components every day so that the kids could have, so that they weren't questioning exactly why did we get this last year, why aren't we getting this year. The only difference is, the question that I've gotten is the number of corn dogs and hot dogs. It went from 2 now to 1. That's what it was before COVID, and the reason we went to 2 is because we weren't able to do salad bars at that time, and I knew the kids were still hungry, so I could kind of get by with a little bit extra. But now they have salad bars to make up. And that's an all-you-can-eat salad bar once they purchase them lunch.
Now let's move back to kids being hungry.
Yeah.
So my two kids, they're almost 30 years old, so it's a long time ago, but they
were on the fifth percentile of the growth scale. So they weren't big kids. And they came home from school hungry, you know, and I always felt like, gosh, if my little guys came home kind of hungry, how big is the lunch and why can't we serve more?
I think it comes back to what, but doing that, serving the more is also monitoring how much is get thrown away.
Right.
So there's lots of food there, but it's whether we choose to eat or whether that picky, you know, what we're picking and choosing to eat. So under that calorie count that we're talking about, which if I go, I want to go down a rabbit hole with this a little bit. This is tracking everything. So that additional piece, when we're saying that, she has to track and report everything that is served and has to stay within a certain limit for an entire week. So this isn't just simply picking up a box of macaroni and cheese because that's what you want today. There's a lot of planning and preparation to stay within the guidelines that we have to follow for reimbursement for these kids. And so it's a nutritional value based on, okay, this is what an active kid, this is how many calories we should do, this is the intake. So it could be a whole cup. So, but sometimes in the world that I've in and I've monitored and I've seen it all the way from even when I was in school, okay, we got plenty of food, but I didn't like what was in the corner. Okay, so then I just chose, I just wanted to eat my hot dog, but then I didn't eat this or take advantage of the salad bar. So some of it is about what we like and don't like in the menu. And, you know, really encouraging parents to look at the menu in advance. And if they know their child is not going to like green beans and that kind of stuff, we can always provide the opportunity to pack a lunch so that there is more following within those restrictions. But you know, just even looking at the elementaries and what they put on their plates, there's a lot of food there. Mm-hmm. However, watching what goes from their plate into the garbage is a little bit different. So, it's about choices. We can't just say, okay, today you get three hot dogs because you don't want the other servings. If you heard Ricky say correctly, and correct me if I'm wrong, we have to put this on their plate. So you have to provide all those nutrients.
So for K through 2, we do have to put everything. All five components go on their tray. And that's more so because they are a little more picky and they might not, they're going to turn their nose up at that mixed vegetable blend or whatever. But maybe the hope is that they'll take a couple bites of that hot dog, they'll take a couple bites of this and that, and then hopefully at the end of it be full, even if they didn't eat everything. Grades 3 through 12, they get a few more choices, but they have to take three of the five components, one of which has to be a half a cup of fruit or a half a cup of vegetable. That is the only half two. So they could essentially walk out of there with the dinner roll, a half a cup of vegetable, and a milk, and that is a reimbursable meal. That doesn't sit well with me, so we always encourage them to take the at least the entree and the vegetable or the fruit and a milk or something like that. But those are just the things that the requirements are, the three of the five, one of which is the half a cup of fruit and vegetable, but we can all we can do is encourage them to take more. So, yes, they do have, you know, sometimes walk away with a hot dog and the baked beans, and that's all they chose, but there were other options for them to take.
So what do you do when you see there's a lot of waste, you know, especially with a certain meal? Like, you know, there's complaints that, oh, you know, they serve that one meal that's gross, Mom, you know. I mean, what do you do if there's a lot of kids that don't like, say, the hot dog or whatever it is?
Then we would change it. And honestly, I haven't heard those complaints. So if those complaints are out there, they need to come to me and we will change our menu. It's usually the, you know, they don't like the mixed vegetables or the, you know, whatever. Some kids, we have a lot, for whatever reason, even just at Cloud Peak, that aren't eating meat this year. And I don't know why. And so they're passing on the entree for the most part. And sometimes the entree is the protein and the grain combined. But some kids will just grab a tortilla and they didn't want the chicken taco meat yesterday or the other day. And so it's just, I don't know. I don't know if that's something that more comes from home or how we encourage those kids. And sometimes I'm like, can we just put a couple? I've been serving in the kitchen the last 2 days and it's like, can I please just put a couple bites on your tray, knowing that didn't count as one of their components, but at least maybe they'll try it and decide that they like it.
Well, I mean, the government has all kinds of accommodations for everything. So what accommodations do the federal regulations allow you for people who are vegetarians or gluten-free?
None. There has to be a documentation from a doctor if they have an allergy or any of those special dietary needs, and that has to be signed by a physician and turned into me and or our school nurse. We both have a copy of that. We don't have very many of those. We have a couple that can't have milk at the K2 level, so they have that form filled out, and then the parents bring in their special kind of milk, because we purchase in such a bulk quantity, we would never get through that milk if we would purchase it before it expired or anything like that. So the parents bring that in, and then that kiddo gets that milk.
And so, Marcy, can I just help with this too a little bit? So the menus are, and most of them are around favorite foods, but there's additional components that are served with them as we do it to meet the nutritional needs. And you know what? But it's not a McDonald's where it's a hot dog, fries, or chicken nuggets. So we have the chicken nuggets, but then we have the fruit and the vegetable and all of that. But we also have the option, and we can talk about seconds. So, I mean, if parents and students feel, but it's not free anymore, okay, there's a cost to whereas over COVID, seconds we were giving were free because that's part of that. But there are still options for certain grade levels where seconds, but there's a cost to that. So now that there would be an additional charge. So we're kind of going through some of that too, where kids were get seconds and an entree, but it's all been free, and now it's not free. There's a cost to the district. I mean, from our point of view, I think we put an additional $200,000 just for food service, and I'm thinking Ricky is already being very efficient with, you know, we're struggling with staff, we're struggling with food, the food costs have gone up, so all those things, but we didn't raise or add a huge raise to our meal prices. So let's talk a little bit about meal prices right now and what we did and didn't do.
So meal prices as far as what I'm purchasing or meal prices for the students?
What we're charging the students.
Okay. So for the students, we did not increase our meal prices for the meal that they're getting for lunch or for breakfast. Those are still, breakfast is $1.50, and then lunch for K2 is $2.75, for six, or K5 is $2.75, 6-8 is $3, and then the high school is $3.25, and then adults are $4. So none of that changed. What we did change is are the a la carte prices. So at middle school and high school level, we have a la carte. So we have extra snacks like Rice Krispie treats, there's chips, fruit roll-ups, cinnamon rolls, a different group of things that they can purchase. And those we increased by 25 cents, some a little bit more because there's another guideline that I have to follow with the state of anything that is sold outside of the lunch program. Then I have to, you know, make sure that we're making money on that. And so so those increases did happen. Salad bar is an a la carte item if they don't get the main meal. And so that also went up from $2 to $2.25. And so a cold lunch kid could come and get the salad bar for $2.25 if they wanted. And it is all you can eat at that point.
And so if my child comes in, has a lunch, and is still hungry, in every grade they could go back for seconds for a cost?
Yes. Almost every grade. So we don't always plan for seconds because we don't want to make a whole bunch of food because then we have to throw it away. And so if it's not eaten. And so a lot of times our cooks are really good. They know which are the favorite meals and that kind of thing. So they do have a little extra sometimes. But yes, a child could come through the line, and if they wanted seconds and they had money on their account, which is one of the things, they have to have money on their account to buy a la carte or seconds, then they could get that seconds if it's available. And then another thing I need to say is that a child can always, any child that is eating a school lunch can come back and get extras on fruits and vegetables at no cost. So those are unlimited to students. And so if they come back, and that means even like tater tots. They want more tater tots. That's the vegetable of the day. Come back and get more tater tots. It's not the healthiest of our vegetables, but yes. I mean, it is one of those things. And so they could come, you know, if they wanted three oranges, we would give them three oranges. So the fruits and vegetables are free if they wanted seconds on that.
So you mentioned the account. Is that an online thing that a parent can just put money into easily from
yes.
anywhere?
So every student and staff has an account, and right now we are using Titan. And so every parent could log into the family portal for Titan and set up an account to pay online. They can also pay in our offices with cash, check, or credit card.
What about at the lunch line? Can a kid, if his account's depleted and he has a $5 bill, can he come up?
They could. We try to not collect money in the lunch line because it's in and out, and the cashiers are busy trying to make sure they get everything rung up correctly, and you don't, you know, want to have cash just laying right there on the counter with them. And so we try to do that, have that taken care of in the offices.
And Ricky, so the Titan program, that's... Yeah. Fairly new.
Yes.
So she did a lot of work to get
still
that.
Doing
so still doing some, but I do want to celebrate that point. Ricky did a lot of work to push this out to parents. So there is that virtual, I would say, the virtual way of paying. So it kind of frees some things up. And you know, parents do have to pay their bill. They are sent notices that they might be behind or where they're at, and they can start paying now. With we have debit cards and. Except check is the front office, so it goes a lot quicker. So we're trying to put some things in place that help with that process. But one of the other things, and to kind of support what Ricky said, it's time. Some of this is you're getting I'm going to just talk about MetalArk. You come in, you have so much time to get through with the kids in the day, and then they're on one half, and as that grade level leaves, they start cleaning that half as the next grade level comes in. So there are some time restrictions with meals, too.
So I've got a couple more questions I hope to get through before our time is up. You mentioned breakfast. Mm-hmm. So tell us what schools have breakfast available?
Okay. Every school has breakfast available.
Okay.
Those requirements are a little different as well. So that requirement is we have to offer four items, one of which has to be a grain, a milk, and then a fruit or a vegetable. And then they are required to take a half cup of fruit or vegetable, and then at least two more of those four items.
They
have to go away with three items.
And what does that cost?
$1.50.
Gosh, those prices are really low. So what about, there's not much time for lunch, you know, mm-hmm. and that, you know, when kids are rushed, they're not going to eat, and then, you know, the afternoon, they're tired. How do you accommodate for that? I mean, I know I get it that the schedule probably doesn't allow, but is there a way?
I think for the most part, that's monitored, though. And so, like, at the elementary, it's not that the time's there. It's sometimes they're just done. They're ready to go to recess. Okay, so I'm done.
They
ready to go.
They want to talk to their friends.
They want to talk to their friends. And, you know, that eating, so slowing things down. I think the time restrictions, I mean, high school's even, you know, if high schoolers were to have a two-hour lunch, they would be super good with that. And we hear that. I heard that even when I first started teaching, is that time frame. But those times, I've heard the administrators here even talk about, hey, it's too long, it's too short, because then it becomes a management. Hey, everybody's done. It gets super loud. They're ready to go out. They're ready to be active. And then you have kids that are very social that, like, oh, I should have probably been eating instead of socializing. Or the kids that are just, like, eat it really fast, and then they're ready to move on. So there's all sorts of different personalities and eating styles. But that, I think, is monitored. I've heard administrators in the buildings have that conversation. Hey, we need to lengthen lunch a little bit, or we need to shorten it a little bit. Mm-hmm. More importantly, how do we get them through the line efficiently, which I think Ricky's staff does a great job, mm-hmm. so that they have time to eat.
Yeah, they do a great job. Yeah.
So I really have a big question that has been floating around for many many years, and this will be our last question. So, locally grown food, locally sourced food, Bighorn School District is able to use local produce, local meat, fresh produce. Claremont School, you know, they have fabulous meals out there. Why can't we do that in Johnson County? Why can't we just provide our own and not have those federal like regulations, you know, hampering you?
So I think, I mean, I don't know. I've talked to like Chanda Rule a few years ago, and I don't know. I mean, we could get that stuff for a while, I think, but I don't know if we have. I don't know of any producers that could sustain the amount that we need. I am using a local produce company, or a guy out of Gillette that is bringing produce to us and that kind of thing too. And I know some of it he does go and get from Denver or whatever, but he is doing that. But the biggest thing too that helps us is local beef. We can take local beef donated to us, and then we pay the processing fee.
And we've been doing that and having the freezer space, so the district's bought that, so we're doing the local beef.
So people donate a beef. It has to be donated, though.
Donated, and it has to
and,
be.
And we could look at buying it, but right now we have the donated. It's that, you know, how do you, when do you buy? I know some, like Sheridan One will purchase some at this county fair, but then having this freezer space to produce all that. And I can speak to Sheridan 3 and some of the other districts that went that way are starting to go back because of the cost.
So there's a cost to getting away from the federal programs?
There's a cost. So your free and reduced lunches that you get reimbursed for now become a cost to the district. So now you pay for those free and reduced, as so people would still qualify. So you, I want to be very clear with free and reduced lunches, that's what we get reimbursed through the federal government. So the parents that are struggling and they fill out that free and reduced application so that the school district gets reimbursed or their meals aren't as much, so we're getting a reimbursement. When you go away from that, all right, that becomes a, now that becomes a personal expense of the district, or you raise your food prices, you raise your lunch prices, and you increase that to offset it. You know, and I think it's very unfortunate. I'll talk about the state level. This is one program that needs to be put into the model so it's funded appropriately, okay, because it's not. The state considers your food service program to be a, should be a wash, and the only way it would be a wash is if you start competing and saying, okay, our lunches are $7 or $8, very similar to what you'll see at a fast food restaurant. In order for us to keep it at a zero cost to us, we, you know, if it's 150 to 180% increase in our products that we buy, we as a district don't pass that on to the parents with our meals. So as a breakfast, $1.50 is pretty cheap when you're figuring you're paying for somebody to come in, prep it, put it out for kids. I mean, we're talking about the time and the effort and not only the product to do that. So when some of these districts are doing it, but I can tell you some of these districts are looking to go back because now the cost has went up, because you will assume that cost of free and reduced lunches. You don't get that reimbursement anymore. Sure, can you now feed a different variety of things? Do you have to feed all those things? Now that offset balance comes back to an economy of, you know, can the district afford to pick up those meals for those kids and parents that can't afford those?
So it's possible, but it would come with a higher cost to families, is what I'm hearing. I mean, you could do your own program.
It's going to be a cost, a higher cost to families, but it's also going to be a higher cost to the district. Mm-hmm. So that reimbursement of $200,000 is maybe going to be $300,000 to supplement. I'm going to say have to supplement the program, just with the cost of what it takes to buy the food, and to pay the salaries and benefits, keep the equipment up. I mean, we've got a $10,000 freezer, right?
Yep.
That we're having to fix.
But see, the district's budget is over $20 million. Mm-hmm. So couldn't you find that somewhere and make that happen?
I think we're trying to find that. But it's right now we're $1.2 million short in revenues, and we're paying $1.8 million back to the state because of overpayments. So it is very tight. When you say 80% of your salaries and benefits come out of that $22 million, it's really hard. And the funding formula, I'm going to come back to that. The funding formula generates funding for every program except this. It generates it for at-risk kids. It generates it for special ed. It generates funding for transportation. It generates, there's funding in there for major maintenance. There's funding for facilities. There's funding for every department. Not adequate funding. I want to be very clear. In some cases, not adequate funding. But I'm going to tell you right here, her program, there is no funding in the funding model for her program.
So you're saying the state of Wyoming does not give money any school district for food services.
Through the funding service, through the funding model. Correct.
So it's only funded by what the parents pay.
And the district.
And then the district pays for the extra, the in. Well, that's interesting. So
when you ask that's a very good question. I mean, where do you come up with those funds? And right now we are coming up with that general funds that were generated to actually be for other programs.
Okay, I know our time's about out. One last question. Sorry, told you the bighorn and the food.
But these are good questions for the community here. So
right.
I love this. So.
Vending machines. So my kid doesn't want to eat what is in lunch. You know, my kids just, you know, can they fill up with what's in the vending machines in the schools?
Oh, this is a great question.
They can at a cost, but all food sold during schools should, during the school day, which is from midnight to a half hour after the school bell rings. Okay, all food sold during school should follow the Smart Snack Compliance, which is a calculator that we have to take all the nutrition facts for and plug it in, and it tells us if it's compliant or not. So those are that's the same rules I have to follow on the a la carte. So all of the vending machines should follow those same rules as well.
So yes, they can fill up on those, but this is a great question because we are still monitored and fall under guidelines of what can be in those machines. Mm-hmm. Because that impacts, and we're going to have to change policy. We're looking into that. But parents and community members need to know you just can't serve anything you want, because then her program gets dinged because we're under the National Food Service Program. So there are guidelines. And it's down to, like she said, these hours you can serve this. And then there's a time management thing. If you have vending machines open and kids are always moving back and forth between classes and there's a pileup and then kids are tardy. I mean, it's just a broad world, but vending machines are not always the answer because there's still guidelines that we have to follow as a district.
And each school has 5 exempt fundraisers that they can use, and those exempt fundraisers can be for things like the sale of food that they don't, you know, that they want to sell during school, but if they don't meet those guidelines, so they have those 5. So like today is food trucks they're having food trucks at the high school. Well, that is one of his 5 exemptions for food sold during schools, because we can't tell all those food trucks that you have to sell food that meet all of our requirements. So we have food trucks up there today, but we are still offering our meal inside at the school so that the kids can get those.
Because there'll be some kids that can't afford it.
Right.
I mean, the free and reduced kids, unless they bring their own money, there's a, at the cost that we're charging, I mean, just it's yeah. $3.
Yeah, that's really cheap for lunch.
It's there. And so we've got to take care of all kids, and we've got to take care of all families. And I want everybody to hear, we understand that the economy is the food prices have gone up. And as a district, Ricky and her staff, and she has done a great job because she is an advocate for her program. We've tried not to pass that on, the cost that we've seen this year. And unfortunately, this is the year also that no longer are we receiving full reimbursement for our food service. So it's kind of a double whammy. So,
mm-hmm. Well, I think you've answered a lot of questions. I know our time is up. You guys are busy people and have to get to your next meetings.
So, Marcy, I want to say this. These are good, hard questions that I am so excited that the community needs to hear. And I want the community to know, we do care. I mean, we can't provide everything that every kid wants. We can't provide this big smorgasbord, but the intention of providing quality food so that kids do have something in their stomachs and it's nutritious, is still a goal of ours. And so, you know, reach out to Ricky and say, hey, what are your thoughts about this? But to understand the menu really hasn't changed. The quantity is not there. It's about, yeah, I'm 55 years old and there are certain vegetables I don't like. So, and there are certain things. But this is the kind of stuff that getting out to the community and understanding we would like to hear voices if we need to and listen to you guys. So thank you again for this opportunity.
Thank you, Charles. And Ricky Sanders, the Director of Food Services at Johnson County School District Number 1. This is Marcy Schuler for 307 Net Radio.